13, while you're turning over there, Numbers chapter 13 in our Bibles. And we will read from verse 25 on through chapter 14 down to verse 11 of chapter 14. So let's start reading with verse 25 of 13. And they returned from searching the land after 40 years. Of course, it's the story of the spies that were sent out at Kadesh Barnea, if you remember that story, the 12 spies. In verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And in chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation of before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs that I have showed among them? And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would bless the preaching of your word now. And Lord, speak to our hearts today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be active here today in our presence and in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we would humble ourselves and be open to what you have for us today. Lord, this is your word. This is your time, and Lord, we ask that you would use it powerfully in our lives, and may it count for eternity. Today we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody has said that we should have a ban on a substance called dihydrogen monoxide, or better known as DHMO. The reasons for this are many. It can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. It is a major component in acid rain. It is the primary ingredient in contaminated sewage. It decreases effectiveness of automobile brakes. It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Prolonged exposure to its solid form causes severe tissue damage. Accidental inhalation can kill you. It has been found in significant amounts in tumors of terminal cancer patients. It is colorless, odorless, tasteless, and kills uncounted thousands of people every year. Do anybody know what this substance is? I bet you do. I just figured you would know. Tell us what it is.
Water.
It's water. That's right. And now, there's a couple lessons to be learned from this. Number one, this is propaganda, isn't it? That's what propaganda is, okay. But also, it can show us how that fear can be promoted in us in an unrealistic way. God has given us our emotions, and one of those emotions, of course, is fear. And so we're going to talk about fear today. And in the story that we read here a few moments ago, we definitely see this issue of fear that caused the children of Israel to make a bad decision. One of the words in the Bible that's used for fear is the word phobos. We'll talk a little bit more about the other words in a minute. But, of course, we get the word phobia from that. And there are all kinds of different phobias that we know about. There's claustrophobia. That's a fear of being closed in. There's acrophobia. That's the fear of heights. There's aquaphobia, fear of water. There's the fear, and some of these I can't even pronounce, so I won't even try. There's the fear of baldness and bald people. There's some of us, watch out for some folks around here, if you got that kind of fear. Okay. There's aerophobia, a fear of drafts. There's the fear of the color purple, if you can imagine that. The fear of hairy people, and I really am scary, you know. Another one's called xenophobia, fear of strangers or foreigners. There's a levophobia, fear of objects on the left side of the body. Dextrophobia, fear of objects on the right side of the body. Auroraphobia, fear of the northern lights. There's the fear of being seated. Anybody scared? The fear of standing and walking, or the fear of teeth. The fear of riding in public. Astrophobia, fear of thunder and lightning. My sister-in-law Cindy she definitely has that. Every time there was a lightning and thunderstorm when we were living in Indiana, she was living there with us, she'd go hide under the bed. And she would not come out until it was all over with. I mean, it was just how it was. And then there's also phobophobia. Anybody even know what phobophobia is? It's fear of fear. Fear of fear itself, okay? In fact, the Bible actually even addresses that one, because in Proverbs 3:25 it says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." And so there are four different New Testament words that are used and translated as fear. As I already mentioned, the word phobos, That word simply means terror or flight. In other words, you're so afraid you run. You know. And then Dalia, I think that's pronounced right. That word means cowardice or timidity. That word is used in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, I think it is. God has not given us a spirit of fear, and so on. Okay. And then there's eulabia, I think is how it's pronounced. And that is a reverence or an awe, sometimes used of God. By the way, the word phobos is oftentimes used of God, to have a fear of God. If we remember Moses and the children of Israel by Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, I'm sorry, and they, you know, God thundered and spoke from the mountain, and they were terrorized by that. You know, well, that's the word phobos. And then there's the word entromos, and that simply means a trembling or a trauma because of fear. Where tromos is where we would get our word, of course, trauma from. So that's kind of the background to this word fear from Scripture. But the message today is not going to be, I hope it's a message of encouragement. That's what I intend it to be. Because a lot of times we are fearful, and it doesn't feel good to be fearful. I mean, none of us like fear. It's a emotion that is not pleasant at all to us. And so I want to encourage you a little bit today, if I can, with the message. The Bible certainly encourages us in regard to fear. It tells us, in fact, somebody said that the words fear not or fear ye not, something like that, are found 365 times in the Bible, one for each day of the year. And so I think God has, in fact, if you just kind of thumb through the Bible frequently as you open the pages of the Bible, somewhere on those pages you'll find something about not being afraid or fearing not. So God wants to encourage us in that way. So I want to give you about five things today about fear that we need to look at here. First of all, we want to look at the biblical perspective of fear. What does the Bible say about fear? Well, there's first of all a good kind of fear. There is a good kind of fear that we ought to have, and of course that you all know what that is. That's the fear of God, isn't it? And oftentimes that word phobos is used for the fear of God. Sometimes the word I can't pronounce it, it's the word that means reverence or awe, is also used. But certainly we need to have that awe or reverence of God. You know, we need to understand that God holds our very breath, our very next breath that we breathe, the very next beat of our heart in his hands. And that helps us to understand that God has control of every single aspect of our lives. Now, there can be, you know, peace and rest in that, knowing that God's in control. But if we're backslidden, or if a person's unsaved, they need to tremble and fear at God, because God is awesome, to say the least. So that's a good kind of fear. But there's also another kind of fear that is a good fear, and we'll call it a healthy fear. God has given us this emotion of fear that we have to protect us. There are times that we need to have caution and be careful, and God has given us that just for caution, to be careful. Like, for example, when Benjamin's up on the peak of the roof and running around up there like a, I won't say it, you know, you need to, how many times did I tell you that? You be careful up there, Ben, you know. Now, you know, Ben's an agile guy, you know. I know he's pretty safe up there and everything, but I see him up there on the roof dancing around doing this thing, you know. It scares me to death, you know. I can imagine myself up there. No way, I'm not doing that. So anyway, God has given us this emotion of fear to protect ourselves, that we would use some caution in our lives. Let me give you a few verses about that, if I could. From Proverbs first. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. It says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. So you can be overconfident and just plowing through and not considering the dangers of something and get yourself in big trouble. How about the dangers of evil, for example? You know? A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. And then also Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now the word evil oftentimes is sometimes used for sin type of evil, but it's also used in reference to just bad things happening. Okay? Maybe what it's referred to here. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, or seeth the danger, in other words, and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So certainly there is a place for healthy fear. Jesus said when he was to Satan, when he was on the pinnacle of the temple, way up there on the top of the temple, he said to Satan, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so sometimes we need to be careful. We don't, you know, say, oh, well, God's going to take care of me. No problem. Wait a minute. Let's not tempt God. Because, supposing Jesus had just dove off. I can't, man. I never am very good at English, okay? He fell off, okay? Whatever. The pinnacle of the temple. Jumped off. Just suppose that. Well, that's hypothetical, of course. But that's certainly not what we ought to be doing, is it? Tempting God. So God has given us this fear, this inborn emotion to protect us from danger. Give us some caution. So that's a good, healthy kind of fear. So then how do we know the difference between a good, healthy kind of fear and a bad kind of fear that we're going to talk about more in a minute here? Well, number one, is the fear realistic? Is the fear realistic or is it imaginary? Because sometimes the fear is imaginary. And we're going to talk more about that in a little bit, under another point here. But sometimes our fear just are not realistic. You know, after I had my heart attack, I took some hyperbaric treatments, and many hyperbaric treatments, and it really helped. But it didn't bother me one bit to go in that hyperbaric chamber. Yeah. But for some people, you start, I can remember Mrs. Piguet, we tried to give her treatment one time, and we couldn't get her head and shoulders about as much as we could get her in there, and she was just going berserk, you know. She was not going in there. Claustrophobia. Well, that's unrealistic fear, you see. So how do we know the difference between good fear and bad fear? Is it realistic or not? The second way that we can know is, will this fear interfere with our obedience to the Word of God? Will this fear that we have interfere with our obedience to the Word of God? And that's a big question. And we'll look at that more in a while. Let's look at a couple passages of Scripture here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, if you want to look there with me. But keep your place here in Numbers, if you would. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love. A perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, if we're talking about the wrong kind of fear now, which I think that's what this would be referring to, the first thing we notice about this, or one of the things we notice about this, that there is torment in that kind of fear. Torment. The second thing we notice is that there is not love in that kind of fear. At least there isn't perfect love. Or the word perfect is the word mature, really. If there isn't mature love, it's maybe you got a little love for the Lord, but it's immature love if you are fearful. And then another point here is that the question comes, is this wrong kind of fear sin? Is it sin? If it interferes with obedience to the Word of God, then it is sin. Okay? We must face that. We saw in our text passage, I'll read this verse again from Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Caleb, I believe it's who's speaking here, maybe it's to both Joshua and Caleb. He says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So we know the story that they did fear the people, and it caused them to disobey God. And so it interfered with their obedience to God. So therefore, it was indeed sin. There's a story in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a wall builder, or a wall rebuilder. And he had some opposition. A couple of guys by the name of Tobias and Sanballat. And they were always against him, always trying to keep him from rebuilding the wall. And they tried several different things. But one of the things they tried was causing Nehemiah just to be afraid. And so they cooked up this plan where they sent a spy in there to pretend to be warning Nehemiah that someone was going to come and try and kill him at night. and he better go hide in the temple. And we see his response to that. He wouldn't do that. And then in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 13, he says this: "Therefore was he hired," this guy was a spy, was hired by Sanballat and Tobiah, "that I should be afraid and do so and sin." Nehemiah saw that that was going to be sin. Why was that? Well, because it was going to keep him from doing the work of God. God had given him a commission to rebuild that wall and to stay at it. And by the way, they did that in like 52 days or something. It was an amazing feat. But they did it because they stayed at it. And so the enemy wanted Nehemiah to go hide in the temple so that he couldn't continue working on the wall. And this was Nehemiah's response. That I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. So in other words, Nehemiah's reputation would be hampered as the leader. And if the people saw that Nehemiah was afraid and hiding in the temple, what do you think they were going to do then? Well, by the way, fear is catching. And so that was the attack that was being made on Nehemiah. But Nehemiah recognized it would be sin for him to depart from the work of God because he was afraid. We also see fear in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We all probably have that verse memorized. Well, notice it starts out with the fearful. The fearful. And also notice the group of other horrible sins that are alongside of it here. I don't know that there's any order here of which sin is worse or not. I don't see that necessarily. But at least it's bunched in. Fearfulness is bunched in with all these other horrible sins. Abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters. So it gives us a little bit of a concept of what God's attitude toward being fearful really is. So fear, the wrong kind of fear, if fear causes us to be disobedient to God, it is sin. That's plain and simple. Another thing about fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the absence of faith. We also read in that verse, in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving." And so the two kind of go together. The Bible says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." In the storms of life, we can rest assured that our captain is in control and that we don't need to be afraid of the storm. Anybody see that? Anybody agree with that besides me? Yeah, amen. But the disciples had a little problem with that, didn't they? In Mark chapter 4, verses 39 and 40, there was a great storm on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was, of course, he was sleeping in the boat. Anyway, it says, "He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful. How is it that ye have no faith? Jesus is correlating fearfulness with no faith, you see. Fear is the absence of faith. So, in the storms of life, when we're not trusting God to get us through those difficult times, we're just plagued with fear. There's no faith there. When we are worrying and fretting over provisions and how God is going to take care of us and meet our needs, we're fearful of that. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:30, "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And then there's also the fear of man, which is another wrong kind of fear. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in God, or in the Lord, shall be safe." The fear of man bringeth a snare. But what's the solution to that? Trust in God. The solution to it is faith. So, when the children of Israel were listening to the 12 spies, their reports, and the subject of the giants came up, the fear took over and the faith stopped. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. Tells us in Numbers 14:11 there, the text, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" They were fearful and they had a lack of faith. Or no faith. The two, faith and fear, are incompatible. They cannot coexist at the same time. Where there's fear, there's no faith. Where there's faith, there's no fear. It's like light and darkness. They can't coexist at the same time. The Bible tells us that if we don't have faith, in Hebrews 11:6, if we don't have faith, we cannot please God. And if we don't have faith because of fear, then we have a big problem with our fear, don't we? Another point is fear oftentimes causes us to make wrong choices. I kind of mentioned this a little bit already, but I want to go into this a little bit more. Fear causes us to make wrong choices. Faith will cause us to make right choices, you see. I almost titled the message today, the title of the message, by the way, Melissa, is "Are You Afraid of the Giants?" But for a while, the title of my message was going to be "Walking on Water Requires Getting Out of the Boat." Remember Peter, the story of Peter? Jesus was walking on water and Peter saw him coming. He said, "Lord, can I come to you?" And the Lord says, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking on water. Amazing. Well, Peter was kind of a mixed bag of bravery and fear, or cowardice, wasn't he? On the one hand, he got out of the boat, but on the other hand, he became fearful of the waves. On the one hand, Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest with a sword, even though the soldiers were coming with weapons. Man, he was brave. But a short time later, he denied his Lord, denied they ever even knew him. Well, he made a wrong choice because of fear. Peter preached boldly on the day of Pentecost. But a while later, when there was in Antioch, there was a meal that was served with a group of Gentile believers, and the Apostle Paul was there, and Peter. And they were all sitting around the table enjoying the meal together. No problem. And then some Jewish believers came in from Jerusalem. And Peter got up from the table and went over in a corner, kind of huddled with the Jewish believers, and would not eat with the Gentile believers. And Paul rebuked him openly for that. So, though Peter preached that amazing, powerful message on Pentecost, yet here we see him fearful of the criticism of the Jewish Christians if he were to eat with the Gentile believers. So he made a wrong choice, didn't he? Because of fear. If a Muslim terrorist were to put a gun to your head today, what would you say? Would you say, Jesus is the greatest? Or would you say, Allah Akbar? Because of fear. There was a family when I was pastoring in Kelso. Fitch family, I think I may have told you about them before, but they got saved and I baptized them in the Catlin pool, swimming pool there, West Kelso. And they were growing in the Lord and coming along pretty good. And this was 1980. And one Sunday morning, I noticed something strange going on. We had moved to a hall, what I call it, Grange Hall in North Kelso. And there was a phone there. I noticed that they were kept going back and making phone calls during the service, talking on the phone. I didn't know what's going on. After the service, I found out that Mount St. Helens had blown up that Sunday morning. And their eyes were big around the saucers. I kid you not. They had so much fear on their faces. They took off from Minnesota, far away from that mountain as they could get, because of fear. And they were just young Christians. They needed to be discipled. I don't know what happened to them. But they made a bad choice because of fear. Years ago when I was in Bible college, I guess I probably told you about this before too, but I guess it fits so well for the message. I worked for a contractor, and sometimes I worked alone. He would give me a job to do, and then he'd go off somewhere else. It was in the winter time. First winter we were there. And I really needed this job. And he was pretty good to me. But anyway, he took me to this one job or showed me where it was. He said, now you need to go up there on that roof and put siding on the side of that dormer up there, aluminum siding on the side of that dormer. And he left. So I put the ladder against the wall. Now the It was about those older houses in that area. They had like basements that were quite a bit out of the ground. The basements might have been 5 or 6 feet out of the ground, and then the first story started from there. So the eave of the roof was probably, I don't know, 12, 14 feet. It was up there quite a ways. Seemed like a long ways to me. And below that, there was some basement stairs, concrete basement stairs going down. Not a good place to land if you fell off the roof. I could just imagine myself lying on my back on those stairs, and my back looking like stairs, you know. So anyway, I crawled up that ladder. I mean, I crawled, literally. Crawled up on the roof. And it wasn't a terribly steep pitch roof. It was probably maybe a 6-12 pitch roof, steep enough. But there's little patches of snow and ice around on the roof. It was actually kind of a dangerous situation, to tell you the truth. But that was back before the days of OSHA and all that kind of stuff, you know. So that, none of that mattered, you know. You're just on your own. And no harness or anything, Benjamin. But anyway, I crawled up there on the roof. And I tried to work. I tried to put the siding on. I was shaking so bad. I was so scared. I couldn't even function. I just, you know, I had to hang on. How can you do work when you're hanging on with both hands to some, you know, the edge of the roof or whatever? I finally just had to give it up. I crawled down off of that roof. Defeat. The job happened to be pretty close to my home, so I drove home. It was just a few blocks. I went in the house, my head hanging down. I was totally defeated. I really needed that job. I had family to support. I sat down, told my wife what had happened. And just my head hanging down, I just felt horrible. I was so scared. You see, I made a wrong choice because of fear. I had a family to take care of. I made a wrong choice because of fear. I was going to lose my job. I knew I would. I didn't know what I was going to do. Fear can cause us, folks, can cause us to make wrong choices. Fear can cause us from sharing the gospel with somebody that we ought to witness to. Fear can cause us from handing somebody a tract when we should. Fear can cause us to not tithe or not give like we should. Fear can cause us to make a lot of wrong decisions, folks. Somebody put it this way. A wise bird knows that a scarecrow is simply an advertisement. Get this. A scarecrow beckoning me to God's richest blessing. You see that? A scarecrow is nothing. A wise bird sees a scarecrow and he knows there must be something good that farmer is protecting. And I want to tell you something. A lot of times, fear will try to keep you from God's blessing in your life. Well, but we need to look at it as an advertisement beckoning us to God's richest blessings. Does that make sense? Isn't that what the case was with the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea? There was rich blessings awaiting them in the land of promise. And the giants and all the obstacles was nothing more than a scarecrow. And it should have been beckoning them to, let's go get it, like Caleb and Joshua. There's a couple of men for you. And it wasn't foolish fear. They knew what God had said. They believed what God said. They had faith. And when we have faith, the fear disappears. Fear can cause us to make wrong choices. Another point is that fear can be fed. Fear can be fed. I mentioned this earlier. Fear oftentimes is imaginary fear. A molehill can look like a mountain. A ripple on the lake can look like a hurricane. A bathrobe in the darkness as a little child, in a little child's room, can look to the little child like a monster. I can remember that when I was a little kid. When I was up on that roof, I made a big mistake. I looked down. I thought about those concrete stairs underneath there, and like I said, what my back would look like if I fell on those concrete steps. I thought about the pain. I thought about the horrible feeling I would have as I'm flying through the air aiming at those steps. I thought about all that stuff. And it caused my fear to overwhelm me. The children of Israel, instead of thinking about the blessings of God and being obedient to God, were thinking about the giants, measuring themselves up to the giants. And the very fact that they said that in their own eyes they were like grasshoppers. They also said in the giant's eyes were like grasshoppers, but in their own eyes they were like grasshoppers. What did that mean? They were imagining the very worst, weren't they? Sometimes one of the things that can feed our anger, our fear, is looking to the wrong place, thinking about the wrong things. But another thing that we can do is getting wrong counsel. Now I want to tell you about the Kadesh Council. We have a Kadesh Council given in Numbers chapter 13, starting with verse 27. Let me read that for you. The spies came back. The 10 spies, they said, surely, and verse 27, surely it floweth, the land floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But then verse 28, they said, nevertheless, by the way, that's an important word, nevertheless, here comes the bad counsel. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men said, we're not able. We're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And then when the fear of this bad counsel had matured, done its work, we see what happened in chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So fear can be fed. It can be fed by wrong counsel. And when it's finished, it will do its dirty work. Get back to Peter again and his the story of him walking on the water for a minute. Peter got out of the boat, all right. He started walking on the water toward Jesus. But a big wave was right there. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. And he began to sink. If we take our eyes off Jesus, the fear will overwhelm us and we'll begin to sink. Years ago, our bridge washed out in 1996, and the only way we had to get across the bridge, well, we had a little cable car for a while, but then we put a log across the river. A lot of you remember that. And we sawed the top of the log flat, so it was all about this. The flat part was about that wide. And we walked across that log. And I remember one time my son-in-law, Jim, he was walking across. By the way, there was a trick to walking across that log because, you know, the waves were pretty high. I mean, the water was pretty high, and the waves are like this, you know. And there was a wave that just before the log, a wave would go up. I guess there was rocks there that made it happen. A wave would go up like this, and then it would dip down like this under the log like that, and then there'd be a little bit of wave over there on that side. And so there was a trick to walking across that log. What you had to do to stay on the log was to make sure that you just watched right in front of you where the log was. Just watch for your log. Don't be distracted by the water. Walk on the log, watch where you're going. Do it fine. No problem. Well, my son-in-law took his eyes off the log and looked at the waves. And guess what he did? Splash. He went swimming. Sort of like Peter. See? Take your eyes off of Jesus because the fearful waves, and you begin to sink. Last point, I'm almost done. Fears, first of all, fears can be fed, and fears must be challenged. The solution to fear is to challenge fear. Walking on water requires getting out of the boat. Peter would have never walked on water if he hadn't gotten out of the boat. Entering into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea could not happen without the children of Israel taking up the challenge to fight the giants. Fears must be challenged. I didn't tell you the rest of the story. I was sitting there in my living room, full of fear and shame, really. I looked at my wife. I looked at my four kids. I realized that I had a responsibility before God to provide for my family. We were 2,500 miles away from home in northern Indiana. Didn't know hardly anybody. My job was the only really sustenance we had. There would have been no way of making my house payment, no way of buying food, nothing else if I lost my job. I knew that. I sat there, I looked at my family, and I saw my responsibility before God. And so I decided to challenge my fear. I got up, back in my car, and drove back to the job. I crawled up the ladder again. Crawled up on the roof again. After a long time, I finally put the siding on the side of that dormer. I challenged my fear. And you know, it did get a little better. I've noticed, you know, I never have liked on working on roofs. I do have this acrophobia problem. I never have liked working on roofs. The other day I had to clean some moss off my porch roof, and I was pretty careful. I crawled around out there, you know, but I did it. But there's been a lot of times when it had been quite a while since I'd been on a roof or been up someplace high, and I'm just dreading it. In fact, I used to have nightmares about this. I used to I'd have a nightmare, and I'd jump or jerk like that, and what I was dreaming was that I was falling off a cliff. I mean, I used to do that almost every night. This was a big thing for me, say. Anyway, but when I haven't worked up high for a while, I noticed that if I will make myself do it, be careful, but make myself do it, get up there and crawl around the roof, however I have to do it, go ahead and let the world spin around and be dizzy and just make sure you're hanging on while you're doing it, you know, and all that. And just force yourself. You know what? It'd get better. And the next day, if I had to get up there again the next day, it was a little bit easier the next day. And the next day, I get up there, a little bit easier the next day. Why? Because I was challenging my fear. Fear has to be challenged. I mean, talking about the wrong kind of fear now. It has to be challenged in order to overcome it. The children of Israel had to challenge their fear if they were going to see the promised land. I'll be honest, I don't like doors. Mike, I don't like going and knocking on doors. I'm admitting that. You know, you like it. I don't like that. You know why? I'm afraid of doors. I'm afraid of doors. Because I don't know what's on the other side of the door. There might be a 6-foot tall man-eating dog on the other side of the door. You know? Or an atheist, for that matter. Just about as bad, right? I don't know what to expect. I don't like doors. But you know what? When I get fearful about that, you know what I have to do? Go knock on a door. I got to go challenge it. See? You know, maybe you're fearful of handing somebody a tract. You don't know how they're going to react to it. You know the best way to get over that fear? Hand them a tract. Make yourself do it. Because it'll be easier the next time you do it. You know that? It will. Isn't that right, Mike? Yeah. You see, fear can keep us from obeying God. It can keep us from obeying the Great Commission. It can keep us from, you know, there have been people who have been called by God to go to the mission field and they wouldn't go because they were afraid of maybe the snakes or something. Oh my. But wait a minute. There was a promised land there for them if they would have just conquered that fear. And then finally, challenging our fears will build our trust in God. Every time we challenge our fear and we see God come through, we'll have more faith in God for next time. Does that make sense? Yeah? It's true. Challenging your fear will improve your faith. So, fears can make us make the wrong choices. Fear is the absence of faith. Fear can be fed, and fear must be challenged. Let's pray. Father, I don't know exactly how to even give an invitation for this message, but I know that many of us here have fears of different types. There shouldn't be. Sometimes these fears keep us from doing what we ought to do, keep us from being obedient to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage to challenge those fears. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts now. Help us, Lord, to hear you and heed what you are telling us. Obey you, Lord, today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.